1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
We're back with Stephen Bozell, just off of work right now, right, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, you own a construction company, and then continue your story.
I am a construction contractor. I do have a background now in stand-up comedy. I used to do some of the amateur nights in the stand-up in and around the Nashville area, which is where I'm originally from, Knoxville, Tennessee, and I had gone to Nashville. And
so you're not doing stand-up comedy anymore?
No, I do not. But once it's in your veins, it's just there. It's I sort of see life through the eyes of comedy. And I've enjoyed doing stand-up comedy for amateur nights and things like that.
So I understand your daughter had some friends sleep over.
Here's what it is, Phil, and this is why I relate it to the fact that I do have a natural comic sense about things. My daughter, April, had three of her little friends here Friday night to watch the fireworks and sleep outside. We put a tent up for the girls and all of that.
Okay.
And my wife and I cooked up hamburgers, and this one of the little girls has a slight stutter. This young lady named Cassidy Baumgartner, I know you have the name.
Yeah, we also spoke to her mother.
Okay, I was not aware of that.
All right, but we talked to your wife, too. Go ahead.
All right, well, one of the little girls has a slight stutter. I noticed this when she asked for something on the table, and she had a noticeable stutter, which I found to be interesting.
How severe was it?
Mr. Bozell, that kind of thing. Can I have some? And I thought this was a little funny, and because, again, my background is in comedy. Some people don't understand that when, you know, if I hear a little girl stutter, that's different from what you may hear. I hear a comedy possibility to break the tension and that kind of thing. And so I sort of thought up this thing to have some fun with it and to sort of relax her and all other girls, because one thing the kids don't really like is spending too much time with adults. And they were sitting at the dinner table, and this little girl stuttered. So I said to the kids, I wanted them to know that I was fun to be with. So I said, when she asked for the Mr. Bozell, can I have some milk? And I said, don't spill it, see? Now, that was my response.
All right, so you stuttered back at her?
That was my response, and that's kind of a fun thing for my stand-up act where I would stutter.
All right, but you got a call from this girl's mother the next day, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
And what happened in that?
Well, my wife took the call, and I overheard her, so I said, let me handle this. And I took the phone from my wife, and it was this Mrs. Baumgartner, who's the child's, and she was being rather terse and said I'd made the daughter upset making fun of her.
Now, you don't think you made fun of her?
No, sir, I did not. See, there are many who don't have a very developed sense of humor. I had done amateur nights in and around the Nashville area, and Nashville is an entertainment center. And it's very competitive, and if you can hang on and stand up in Nashville, you're on your way, and I was able to do that. And so I have, I was known as someone who had a cutting-edge sense of humor.
I'm not a stand-up comic.
That's why I say you don't understand how comedy works, and what I was doing was basically comedy. Now, the woman who called and said her daughter was crying and everything. This is a woman who had no sense of humor.
But Janice also talked to your wife, and she called you. What did she say?
My wife called me a stupid MF. She also said a H word and some other words. And that's when I said to my wife, "You have no business meddling in these affairs because you don't understand observational humor like they do on the stand-up comedy."
All right, tell me about now, I want to give our number out, 1-800-449-8686. So a little girl came to your house. It was a sleepover with your daughter. She was stuttering, and you stuttered back. The girl was upset. The mother was upset. But you're telling me that's part that you were doing stand-up comedy, or?
No, I said it was something funny. You have to understand how if you have a highly evolved sense of humor, you'd understand, but maybe you don't. But
so what you said was supposed to be funny.
It was funny. Unfortunately, I didn't know that the people at the table didn't have a very good sense of humor. My wife has never had a good sense of humor. But that's what it was. It was funny as hell. If you would have heard it, you would have laughed. What I said was, and I did, and it was funnier than hell. But you should have heard the kid. She was funny as hell saying, Mr. Bozell.
All right, what was the jackhammer?
I'm sorry, sir?
What was the jackhammer in the garage?
All right. I want to be clear about something, that, because that got overblown by the news media. I have a jackhammer in the garage because we store equipment for my business.
All right, but you turned it on for the kids?
What I did was this. I turned a jackhammer on. I had the kids hold on to the handle for a couple of seconds so they could see how funny it was to sound like this Cassidy kid would have to stutter. And that's when I dropped what we call a line in comedy. In comedy, you call, you have a line. And that's when I said, okay, you're going to use this so we can all understand you, Cassidy. You see, and that, again, was misunderstood.
So the kids held onto the jackhammer, so they were talking like that?
Yeah, when you hold on a jackhammer, you. And it was a lot of fun, and I thought it was hysterical. If you'd been there, you would have laughed your ass off. I swear to God, it was so funny. But again, I had done stand-up comedy, and I come out to L.A. in 1996.
Have you done any stand-up comedy here?
No, sir, I have not. I did an I called up the Comedy Store, and the man who answered the phone said that I had to come and get in line on an amateur night, so I thought, well, that's no good. So then I used my contractor's license, and I've started doing contracting business.
Mr. Bozell, you're in Corona, California, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Bozell is on my program because you called in because your wife and daughter and friends are upset with you for making fun of a girl with a stutter. Now, there's an old saying, you know, a million people can't be wrong. If everybody is upset with you, why don't you see that you did something that was offensive?
I'll tell you why, Phil. I am very highly developed in terms of the kind of comedy that I do. I do what's called satire. The regular comedy, if you say it like a knock-knock joke, knock-knock, who's there, you know, but who, you know, Bud Abbott or something, that's regular comedy. The comedy that I do is a satire where I comment on society around me, see? And when the girl stuttered, she goes, Mr. Bozell, and I have some milk. That was an opportunity for me to satirize society's, you know, attitudes about people that don't talk good. And that's when I said, don't spill it. And it was flat out funnier than hell. I thought I was going to fall out of my chair. I was laughing so hard. But the people that was there, my wife, my son, and the girls, don't have no how to develop sense of humor. So therefore, they didn't understand how funnier than hell it was. And I'm trying, by being on your program and other people's programs, to show them about satire and how it's all more about stuff that's in real life as opposed to doing a knock-knock joke or a dead baby joke or something like that, which I think are funny, but I also think they're very tasteless.
Well, dead baby jokes, I've never understood. What are those about?
Well, that's a kind of comedy, too, that's very regular comedy, but it's called in poor taste, where you say what's funnier than, you know, what's funnier than a truckload of dead babies, and the answer is unloading them with a pitchfork. Now,
all right, sir, I've heard the dead baby jokes, and I find them to be meaningless. I don't understand what's the point. They're disgustingly meaningless.
Well, that's why I say they're in bad taste. But the kind of comedy that I do is like, see, if I did the same stuttering joke to people that understand comedy, the Tonight Show people or these kinds of people, well, they'd have me on the Tonight Show. On the Tonight Show, but I've got my general contractor's license, and right now we're starting three new buildings over here in Fontana, so I don't have time to go over to the Comedy Store and work on the amateur night what they have.
All right, but again, sir, you say to a little girl who's stuttering, you're making isn't that making fun?
No, what do you mean?
Isn't it making fun of her stutter?
No, I can tell you what making fun of her stutter would be. See, if you ask me, making fun of somebody,
Okay, tell you what, why don't you hold on for a minute, because we're talking with this man. I think he's having dinner or something, Janice, or he's in a bar. Steve Bozell, there is a problem in his neighborhood. He made fun of a little girl who stutters at the dinner table. She was over at the house. The wife, the father of the stuttering girl have been... irate. They don't want the kid coming over to his house, so he feels he's been unfairly singled out. She stutters. He mimicked her stutter. When I asked him why he did that, he says he has a background in stand-up comedy, and he understands what funny is. And it was mimicking her stutter is what he calls satire. And so the mother of that child has absolutely no right to be upset. Even the little girl was crying when she came home. Let me give our phone number. It's 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. As we continue our discussion here with Steve Bozell, a man who says making fun of a stuttering child is okay if it's satire. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We got Stephen Bozell back on the line here. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor. You had a little girl with a stutter at your home. She was doing a sleepover with your daughter?
Yeah, it was on the 4th of July. We had had the girls over to watch the fireworks.
Okay, and she stuttered, and you made fun of her, or?
No, I satirized it. She said, Mr. Bozell, and I went good, like that. Now, let me explain something, Mr. Hendry, so your listeners understand very clearly that this is not about making fun of people, that this is pure comedy. We go over here to the veterans' hospitals. I go over to the children's burn ward and places like that, and I will make fun, like some of the vets who love this. I will walk around dragging my leg behind me, or I'll walk, pretend like I ain't got no eye or something like that. And I show them how funny looking they are, and they laugh their asses off.
Wait, you go to a VA hospital, and you pretend like you're a wounded veteran to show them how funny looking they are?
I firmly, please listen to what I'm saying.
I mean, that mocks the very...
No, please listen to what I'm saying. I'm a firm believer in showing the veterans and people what are crippled, how funny they look, so they can say, oh, I look like that, and they'll laugh too.
A little stuttering girl is going to hear you stutter, and she's going to think it's funny, huh? She cried. Don't you understand?
On account of her mother doesn't have a cutting-edge sense of humor that I do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. What do you think about the notion of making fun of people with stutters so they can see how funny they sound? Greg, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Do I understand from my producer that you are a father of a stuttering child?
Right, yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to say this. Even though, Mr. Bozell, your comments may be not intended to, you're not intended to make a fun of a child at that particular time. But at the same time, you're hurting their feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's a comedy to you. It's a comedy to you, and I understand. I got a sense of humor. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
some of those situations, it could be funny. But the person that you're talking about, you're like personally offending them. You understand what I'm saying? You're hurting their feelings,
well,
man.
Well, here's the whole deal. The little girl's mother, she's a sourpuss. She ain't got no... I did a couple of knock-knock jokes, and she didn't laugh at them or nothing. So that, I realized I made a mistake, because the little girl did not learn how to have no sense of humor, because her mother, I talked to the mother on the phone. I said, okay, look, I'm going to try something out here, because I think I know what's wrong. And I did a couple of dead baby jokes on her. She didn't laugh. And I realized then that I'd made a mistake. The mother doesn't have a sense of humor.
Yeah, but everybody got a different sense of humor. You can't expect someone to laugh at something. I mean, some things you mentioned, it's not funny to me. What? If you walk in that veteran thing, I mean, that's not funny to me. You understand what
no,
I'm saying?
I go watch
Jamie Foxx or something. You know what I'm saying? The stand-up comedy or something like that. That's funny, you know?
Like,
you're talking about you walk in a hospital doing that. Come on, man.
I like Jamie Foxx, but I don't think he quite... I think he needs work. What I'm saying is...
So I don't see you on HBO doing all the money out there. I don't see you out there, you know?
Well, see, right,
I see
right
Jamie Foxx. I mean, Jamie Foxx taping the things all over the place, man.
Okay.
I mean,
have you ever seen Carrot Top or any of these individuals? Because he is so funny to me.
And Carrot Top? Carrot Top, the guy that does those phone commercials?
Yeah, the redheaded guy. Now, that's what I call cutting-edge comedy. I think Jamie Foxx needs work. Now, a lot of the comics on the TV have very... immature comedy. What I try to do is...
Well, wait a minute. You do dead baby jokes, not knock jokes.
No, that's just what I try. Like Greg.
Yeah, but that's not comedy type of stuff, man. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Phil, is that funny to you, Phil?
No, knock jokes aren't funny to me.
Well, exactly.
Wait,
that's
let me ask Greg. Greg,
I mean,
what do you call a guy?
Performance or something. But you walking into a hospital or talking about that dead babies and all this. I mean, who laughs at that, man?
All right, let me ask you, and I can tell you right now, if you have an evolved sense of humor, what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs water skiing?
You know how many times I heard that? I heard that so many
times.
Okay,
what do you call him?
I'm not going to answer that because they're stupid. You know, it's ridiculous.
His name
Imagine if you had a sibling or something like that that had no arms and no legs.
Well, I've never
Imagine
met
if you had a sibling.
Wait a minute.
You know
I've,
what
never
I'm saying?
I've never met no guy with no arms and no legs. Never in my life.
Well, what difference does it make whether you met one or not?
I don't think
exactly.
I don't think they exist.
Well, yes, they do exist. There's some people with birth defects who are born that way.
You can't say for sure.
Yes, I can. I've seen them. And you call a guy with no arms and no legs Skip.
Okay, do you think that's funny?
After the 9 millionth time, like Greg, no, I don't.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying.
That's crazy, man. You don't need to be. I mean, you need a different career, man. I tell you that. Because this what you're doing, you ain't going to make no money. You can go to all the amateur, whatever you want to do, but you ain't making no money. Because I tell you that, you want to bad Jamie Foxx, man. He's a lot funnier than you are, I tell you that right now.
Hold on, man. You don't have the highly developed sense of humor than that I thought you did. Look,
highly developed sense of humor? How do you develop sense of humor? You're born with the sense, man. You don't develop nothing.
If my daughter's friend had no arms and no legs, I would have asked her to walk on over to get her hamburger. See?
See, I had that
what?
Funny to you.
I don't think that's funny.
Well, the gentleman's laughing.
No, he's laughing at you thinking it's funny. I'm not laughing at you'd ask her to go over and get a hamburger?
Yeah. Like one time, okay, here's one thing I do at VA hospitals. I get the guys up, we call it amateur night, and I'll get them up on a tabletop to do a dance thing. And
Jesus, dude, that's insulting to our vets, man.
So that's funny? That's funny.
You gotta be there.
Hey, let me ask you. There's me, there's Phil right here. Was any of us laughing at that joke?
Look, how do you get an African...
Oh, Phil, were you laughing? Phil,
no,
you
I wasn't. I wasn't laughing.
How do you get an African-American...
Was I laughing, Phil? Just tell me, was
I didn't
laughing?
Hear. I didn't hear him laughing either.
All right, so how many people are finding this funny?
I'll bet you more than you two guys, because you two guys are sourpussy.
Man, you're crazy, man.
How do you get an
African... You need to get him off the show, Phil.
How do you get an African-American child to stop jumping on the bed?
Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, was that funny?
You put
Did you hear anyone laughing again? Was anyone laughing again?
You put Velcro on the ceiling.
That joke is old.
Hey, you got no talent, man. You got no talent.
Oh, I'm better than Jamie Foxx. Well, I'm not better than Jamie Foxx.
That's why I'm hearing you. That's why I'm hearing you on the AM station, and he's on HBO.
Well... Jamie Foxx, I think, is good. I didn't say he was not good.
Look, we're not going to debate Jamie Foxx or any other comic, and we're not going to have you doing dead baby jokes or any of the racist jokes that you're doing.
What racist jokes?
I'm not going to get into it, but what I'm saying is making fun of a little girl, and thank you very much, Greg, for your call, making fun of a little girl with a stutter.
Again, Mr. Henry, what you do not understand is it's not making no fun of her. It's allowing her to see how funny sounding she is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is George. Go ahead, George.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this guy you got on there is an absolute nutcase. Forget the little girl stuttering. If he ever came into a VA ward down here in Florida, they'd kill that son of a bitch if he acted like that.
Who would?
The veterans would.
How's a guy who's got one leg going to run after me and kill me?
Hey, buddy, let me tell you. You come in a ward down there, they'll run you down a damn wheelchair acting like a fool.
I'm not acting like no fool. I'm showing them how...
Oh, you think you're
what's
funny?
What's the guy going to do, take off his leg and beat me to death with it?
You're damn right he will.
That's cutting-edge comedy.
Well, you think that's not funny?
Sir, I have
you
done...
You think you're funny?
Yes, sir, I believe that I am.
Well, nobody has laughed yet.
You're about as funny as... Watch
the
paint dry,
sometimes
buddy.
These people with the funny talk or the walk or half of a leg, they don't really realize what they look like and how funny what it is.
Hey, buddy, were you ever in the damn service?
In service of what?
In the service of the country. All right, thanks very much for your call. 1-800-449-8686. This man makes fun of, in his stand-up comedy app, cripples. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
All right, I'm talking with Stephen Bozzelli, a construction contractor. You had a little girl over to your house who was asleep over with your daughter, and the little girl stuttered, and you stuttered and made fun of her. And
well, if it hurt the child, I'm sorry. Mr. Henry, the last thing I want to do is hurt a child. I would never hurt the child. I was trying to get the child to see how funny she sounded. But if it hurt her, certainly I would apologize for that. But you tell me that it's not funny. I mean, I do cutting-edge comedy. What is evolved on a society and everything, you know.
What do you mean you do cutting-edge comedy, man? I heard you do dead baby jokes, and what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs? Water skiing. Dude, that stuff is like from high school.
No, that's what I test people to see if they know what is cutting-edge. And I'll tell you right now, if you see my act, you'd laugh your ass off. I do a special thing.
All you do is make fun of crippled people, man. That's all you freaking do.
No, I do not, sir.
Yes, you do, man.
And I have some... Okay, so in other words, in my act, I do a bit where I do the one-legged dip. Like, have you ever seen a guy with a bad leg going across the street?
Yeah, okay. So you walk like some guy going across at a crosswalk with one leg, and then what?
That's hysterical. And
no, it's not, man. No, it's not. Put it together with an act, maybe. Now, here is Mark. Mark, my producer says you do stand-up comedy in Canada, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I mean, you said a couple of things that I very much agree with. I mean, well, your gentleman, the other gentleman's name is what?
My name is Steve Bozzell, sir.
Steve. Just making fun of people's maladies and shortcomings is something that I went way past back on Amateur Night 16 years ago. You know, the stuff that you're doing, very much, Phil, you're quite correct. I mean, that's the kind of crap I hear around the water cooler and stuff like that. It's old jokes. It's hack comedy. And taking advantage of people's shortcomings is just the lamest way of doing it.
See, right there, you said a joke. When you said shortcomings, guy's got half of a leg. What do you call that? You're making a joke even though you don't know it. See?
Oh, really? So you take my word of shortcomings and make it a play on words because that's your way of making up. What is the most topical thing you've done? You talk about being topical and cutting edge. I haven't heard anything edgy from you yet, man. It's all those beat-up jokes and everything else. I've heard this stuff from my 8-year-old regurgitated back at school, and I'm disappointed when I hear it.
When I'm talking about how the veterans limp and everything, that's all about the war and what happens to men in war.
What do you mean, making fun of a guy limping is a commentary on war and what happens in war? I can go to a VA hospital and look at those guys.
Look, did you hear... okay, what's this gentleman's name? I'm sorry, sir. You're Mark?
Mark.
Did you hear Lorena Bobbitt's sister got arrested for cutting off her husband's thing, and she missed? She got charged with a demeanor.
Oh, really?
Well, I said it wrong. I'm sorry, I said it wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus!
Yeah. I think your delivery sucked a little bit. You're a little short on delivery, just like her.
No, here it is. She got charged with a misdemeanor. That's what it was. I'm sorry, I wrote it down
Very
wrong.
Good. Which book did you pick that up out of? None of this.
No, sir,
original.
I wrote that. Now, see, this
None
is the
of this
thing.
Is original.
Excuse me, sir, I wrote that.
You wrote that?
Yes, sir, I did.
That's the best line any hack gives on stage. Thank you, I wrote that.
Wait a second, sir. Have you written your jokes, or do you have a writer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I just finished a gig for 200 people in a tent. Talk about a hell gig, but that's what we call them. But they were great people. There was 200 people. I had to work clean for 45 minutes. There was kids, 2, 5 years old. I didn't make fun of the little kids running around and messing around.
Go ahead and give me a joke when you're done, and then I'll give you one of mine, and then we'll see what Mr. Henry likes better.
All right, guys.
What do you want? You want something just regular?
Go ahead, yeah, something from your act.
All right, my wife's birthday last month. For her birthday, my wife wanted a brand new car. That was a little bit out of my range, but she was cute about it. She left me subtle little hints around the house. Like I get up in the morning, there's a picture of a brand new convertible taped to the bathroom mirror. And written beside it in lipstick, it said, "Can you guess?" So the next day, I just stuck my bank book up there and wrote, "Can you add?"
Okay, that's not bad.
Not bad.
That's
Thank
not
you very
bad.
Much.
Well,
Coming
that's
from
a,
you,
that's
a compliment.
Okay. Do some. Okay, how about this one?
That's sarcasm, by the way, in case you never run across that.
What's that?
Coming from you, it's a compliment.
Well, I mean...
Okay, look, what's your
it
joke?
It kind of went over your
head. Okay, here, do zombies rule? Of course they do.
Oh, my God. Phil,
listen to you. Can you add? That's... All right, did you hear about the fire at the circus? It was intense.
Okay, sir, you're now beginning to bring up jokes that are on the Internet.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something right now.
And the fact that you go to the VA, how do they even let you in the VA? to walk like a cripple.
If I offended that little girl, I'm very sorry.
I would suggest you get on the phone and call that woman, and maybe, just maybe, and I doubt it. If it was me, I wouldn't. I'd just be afraid of you. Maybe they'll let her daughter do another sleepover at your house, but I wouldn't if I were them. I would just,
I'd
be frightened.
Did she get paid to go to a VA hospital and perform?
What?
Oh, God.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Mark, thank you.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry. No offense to you.
You heard about the young Italian bride who was going
to bill to call you,
sleep
man.
With her husband for the first time, and he took off his shoes, and he had a club foot, so she ran downstairs and yelled to her mother, he's got a foot and a half, and Mama said, step aside, this is a job for me. See?
Wow.
Now, that's a joke.
That's an old joke. You wrote that? You wrote
You know, it's interesting. You say it's an old joke if it's
you
really good.
You wrote that?
Yes, I did, sir. Yes, I did.
Oh, God. Oh,
how come
man.
They threw the belt in jail?
You know what the
difference
is?
Okay, if this is an old joke, go ahead.
I could argue the point with you, whether you wrote that or not all night long, but there are comics all across the country right now looking at the radio trying to kick it.
Wait a second. I'll tell you something right now. If you wrote, if you've heard this joke before, give me the punchline. Why was the belt thrown in jail?
Why was the who?
Why was the belt thrown in jail? B-E-L-T.
I really couldn't tell you.
He held up a pair of pants. Now, if you had heard that before, you would have given me the punchline, and you're laughing.
Well, you didn't write that, man, because I did see that on the Internet.
You are a lying. You are a liar, sir.
No, I saw that on the Internet.
Yeah. Every time you guys laugh at something, you say you saw it on the Internet. Go to hell.
No, but you want to know one specific
Oh, he hung up. No, he hung up.
When you're a stand-up comedian, you hope that people are laughing with you, not at you.
True. Listen, thanks very much, Mark, for calling it. What's your last name, in case people know you in Canada?
Well, after the way my joke went over there, I'm
okay, never mind.
No,
give me your last name in case the police know you in Canada.
It's Mark Matthews.
Thank you. Okay, Mark. Mark Matthews, if you see him in town there in Canada. Look, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore. I'm telling you, I told you that if any caller hangs up... What do you want, sir?
Two pretzels were walking down the street. One was assaulted.
I don't want... What? What do you want?
What do you get when you cross a pond in a stream? What's it?
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
A suspect wanted for assault with a deadly weapon led L.A. police in a high-speed chase Thursday afternoon. Police were reportedly trying to stop the man for picking up a prostitute when he tried to run over the officer in an attempt to flee. The chase began at 4:11 p.m. in East Los Angeles and continued on several freeways and through several L.A. area neighborhoods, sometimes at speeds in excess of 50 miles an hour. The suspect allegedly tried to run down an undercover police officer as he tried to get away. The man could be facing attempted murder charges. The Ford Aerostar van would be considered the deadly weapon. The suspect fled the vehicle near downtown Los Angeles and was taken into custody after a short foot pursuit. There were three people in the van earlier, but two passengers bailed out and were arrested. Now, I watched this chase, and the guy at no time... And I'm not saying the guy didn't break the law. He broke the law. But at no time was he running over people and he wasn't endangering any pedestrians. He's actually driving rather slowly. But here's the funny thing. The guy was trying to buy a prostitute. And the end result was this chase that went on for an hour and a half, tying up the resources of the city of Los Angeles, the police. Yes, I know he tried to run a cop down, which is not cool, but he never would have tried to run a cop down had the cops not been there in the first place, and the cops were there in the first place. Why? Because the guy was negotiating with a lady for her services. And when I say lady, I use the term loosely, but it's serious. You know, I mean, so there you go. That's just a snapshot of our world. And the guy, when he finally jumped, when he bailed out of the van, I saw it, this big, fat guy lumbering down the street. Any one of us could have kicked his ass, just this big fat tub. The cop finally jumped up and pulled him down. Let me tell you something. If that was me, I would have run, too. Trying to buy a hooker? Why do you think the guy ran? Oh, that's all he needs is get his kisser on a website someplace.
These are Johns that tried to buy prostitutes.
The guy's got a wife and kids someplace. Hell, I'd take off, too. And my wife's coming back to town today. You talk about getting your ass kicked. My wife is flying in at 6:20. As a matter of fact, she's on the ground now, and she's in customs. And she will soon be home. You think I want, and the next thing she's going to turn the TV on, and there I am running from the LA police because I was trying to, buy a hooker. She turns the TV on. I wonder where your dad is. And there I am sprinting down a street in LA with six cops chasing me. Think I need that? I don't need that. There he is right now. And there's Henry with my bald head, I'm turning corners. I'm trying to get away. This cop just takes his nightstick out and does a Jim Rice on my face. Just boom. But I told the kids this morning, by the way, I said to my sons, I left them a note. I said, okay, here's where it's at. Now get a load of this and get it good. I said, tomorrow, guys, no video games, no computers, no television. Your mom's coming home. And the older one said, can I go to a party? Because no parties, man. If you want to go to a party last night, let him go to a party last night, and he slept over at his friend's house. That's fine. Tonight, nothing. Mom's coming home. Everybody will gather around the, and greet her, all that stuff. So I left a note before I left. I said, I want you guys to pick the house up, okay? I want you guys to bring the garbage cans in from the street. No TV, no video games, and no computers. And I said, and then when you're done, you may want to use the swimming pool that you wanted me to build for you or the trampoline. I know that the sun will hurt your girlish complexions, but it may actually help one of your testicles drop, Chris. Because my youngest is like, he's 13. He's like, yeah, you guys, take a look at this. This is fantastic. I said, Jesus, dude, when's your voice going to crack, man? What are you talking about? His brothers are all, yeah, Chris, how come your voice sounds like that?
I sound fine. Everything's beautiful.
I'm like, dude, get outside, man. Use that trampoline. Your testicles will drop. Just go up and down a few times.
Yeah, my testicles.
Yes, yes. So it makes your voice get lower, man. Dude, have you even got any facial hair yet, man? Is it all still peach fuzz going on there? And now one of them's trying to grow a beard. And it's, when you're 15 and you try to grow a beard, it's iffy, man. It's hit and miss, dude. Because it ain't coming in all over. It's like one patch here, one here. And don't do it, man. Don't do it. Guys, 15-year-old guys, the only thing you guys should grow are like soul patches. Just the thing like under the lip. Maybe a mustache, only if it's pencil thin. And that's it. Don't go the beard route until you're full on, like, college age. But, and I said to them, clean this joint up. Because I actually cooked them spaghetti Monday night, and when my wife found out about that, she almost fell out of her chair. She couldn't believe that. See, all of this stuff, I know how to be a dad. But I also kick ass. But, I mean, there comes a time when they're locked in the room 24 hours, 48 hours straight in a video game. They got to get out of there. They got to get out of there or else the police are going to arrest me for child abuse for not getting them out of there. 3 a.m, man. They're still up and they're playing. I said, you guys got to get off this freaking game.
Well, okay.
Bill Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
Dr. Jim Sadler is a man who claims that he can cross over. That is, contact, talk to the spirits of recently deceased individuals. He has an actual business where people can pay him a fee, and you talk to the deceased husband or wife of a senior citizen, correct?
That is right, Phil, and we do it from their home, and we do it with great respect.
And you claim that the deceased husband or wife will let that living husband or wife know where the money is, where the PIN numbers are, where the credit cards are, and they'll be able to get their affairs in order.
That is also correct. You've got a lot of seniors out there that are being taken advantage of.
Well, I'm going to... All right, before I ask any questions, you do it in the home, and you say you put the other person into a trance?
Yeah, I use hypnosis, and I come into the home, and you have to pay respect to what it is you're about to do. And that is, you are about to contact the spirits of the dead. I come into the room. I have a portable pipe organ, which provides a trance-like music, which I play, and which affords the subject to get into this hypnotic state and allows me to also get into a hypnotic state where the spirit of the dead spouse can enter.
Can you give us an example when you say hypnotic music?
All right. This is a portable pipe organ that I keep, and I can bring this into any home, and I can give you a... Can you hear me, Phil?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's like... Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
La, 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 la. And it's very... Okay. See what I'm doing? It's very spooky.
You play this while the...
You're playing this while...
What is that song?
It's something that I wrote. I wrote this for the trance-like. Okay, so really what we're trying to do is...
So that's something you wrote that you play?
You play to put the people into the trance. Okay?
Because it's really spooky? I mean...
No, it's just it affords respect for the dead. Keep in mind, again, that we're contacting the spirits of the dead. You have to have appropriate atmosphere. The dead will not be mocked. And the dead, if they are disrespected, will come back and be upset with you. And this is where we have hauntings. I also use a smoke machine, so I can show you here. I'll play the song. Now, you can't see the smoke here.
So what, do you got a smoke machine going?
Huh?
You got a smoke machine?
Right. And I get the subject to show me a picture of the one that the dead, you know, whatever it is, a husband or wife. Then I shake and I vibrate as I prepare for the spirit to enter me. And as I vibrate, that's when I give the subject a small dose of a Hypnol or a relaxer. And see, so I'm being respectful to the dead, all right? Now, once I do that, then they're in the
trance.
In the trance, then the dead one comes into me, and then he tells me where everything is.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Tickets to Denver, please.
Tats of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Tats of Beverly Hills for the all-day fresh-cooked prime rib roast. Fantastic at Tats of Beverly Hills. Share with your grandmother and your bucket of ice.
Tats, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's in Beverly Hills. Ted Bell joins us, and I know you're ready to catch a plane, Ted, and I appreciate you being on the air with us. About women's safety, I know that you are on the council there of women's safety in Beverly Hills.
Phil, just not to interrupt you, but...
No, go ahead.
The reason that I feel it's necessary is I think women need to be careful. They go into areas, a lot of women will need, they need to be mindful of dangerous areas, and I know it's a matter of perhaps comfort that a lot of women will just unthinkingly step into a situation that might be dangerous for them. I have a wife. I know many of your listeners have wives and daughters. And I think it's important that we educate women here. The year 2004 is going to be the safety of our mothers and our daughters. We're going to be focusing on that.
My wife, for instance, walked into a darkened parking garage in Sacramento one night after walking three blocks to her car at about 9 o'clock at night. I told her she was crazy, and she didn't quite... She said she was safe.
They always think that they can go into a situation. A lot of women think they can go into a situation that would make most men cringe. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, and it was something that happened, involved me personally, and I am still shaking from the experience. And yesterday, I was turning into the valet park over at the Ivy Restaurant in Beverly Hills. I had a lunch date with Hal Slayton, who is, he wants me to come on board to executive produce a new independent film, and I said, yeah, whatever I can do, Hal. And as I was swinging in, I saw a car back out, so I needed both hands on the wheel. Now, I'm swinging in, so I flicked the cigarette butt I was smoking. I was flicking a cigarette, and I flicked it outside the window. I had it in my left hand, and by flicking the cigarette, I had both hands free. And I pull up to the valet. Now, here's what I'm talking about. When you see a woman enter a dangerous area where she could get herself killed, as a man, you almost want to shake some sense to her. Now, here comes this woman out of a van that was behind me on Robertson. And you got to hear this. Please hear what I'm saying, especially the ladies. She came up to me. She screamed at me about dirtying the sidewalk with the cigarette butt. Just the memory of it.
Well, this shook you up, didn't it?
It really did. She picked up the cigarette butt and she flicked it back into my car. I could have been blinded for life with a hot cigarette butt. It dropped hot ash all over the passenger seat. It hit the floorboard. I was trying to pick this thing up. All the while, I'm stunned. Now, this is an example of why women are getting raped, why they're getting assaulted, why they're getting kidnapped and even killed. They are blind to the fact that what they're doing is dangerous.
You were confronted by an angry woman.
Yes.
And she took exception to you pitching a cigarette through the window. But you say, so you threw a cigarette out and she was angry at that.
But no, she was screaming at me. You understand what she was, she had thrown the cigarette butt back through the car window of my car. Now you need to know something. And I think this will help. I think when I say this, a lot of my listeners will understand if they don't already. I was driving at the time an investment for me. It's one of my favorite cars. It's a Ferrari 456 GT. This is an oxblood interior, bone white, mahogany paneling. And it's a beautiful car. And this woman threw a cigarette butt into that car.
But, okay, and I understand the value of the car, but you had pitched it out into the street.
No, you're missing the point.
I'm not saying that she was right in picking it up and throwing it back into your car.
I was driving a Ferrari 456 GT, and this thing picks up a cigarette butt off the street and throws it back into my car. Now, I could have taken her apart, but she's a woman, I'm a man, and if I hadn't been a gentleman, I would have pulled the battery out of my car and given her face a wash with battery acid.
But oh, God, Ted, I mean...
No, but Phil, understand, I'm a gentleman, I didn't do that. Because she's a woman, otherwise I would have ripped her apart. Now, this is what I'm talking about. If you're a woman, and you take a cigarette, and you flick it through the window of a Ferrari, I would have taken her apart were I not a gentleman. And this is the dangerous...
No, wait, all right. Ted Bell joins us, by the way, folks.
This is dangerous, Phil.
No, I know. Ted Bell is with us. He's the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. We're talking about women's safety. You flicked a cigarette out onto the street. She picked it up, threw it into your car. I'm not saying she was right.
No, she wasn't right. She could have gotten herself killed. She could have been ripped apart. I would have taken her apart were I not a gentleman. You see how she stumbled into a dangerous situation and she could have been killed?
No, but Ted... If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. You took a lit cigarette that you were smoking...
Why does this come back on me? I understand what you're saying, but this doesn't come back on me.
I just want to be clear. You threw the cigarette out, she picked it up, and was obviously angry at you, I guess, for doing that.
Okay, but I don't know the point you're trying to make.
I'm just saying, she threw the cigarette back in your car, it burned the leather on your... I understand a Ferrari 456 is a very rare car, it's a beautiful car, and so you have no culpability.
She... Fellas, I don't understand what you're saying.
What if a man had done it?
I'm sorry?
What if a man had done that instead of a woman?
I would have ripped it apart. A Ferrari 456, there's 15 of them in the world. And the only
I understand the rarity of the car. Okay. All right, let me give my phone number out, Ted.
Plane has been delayed, Phil, so I can hang with you.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills. We're talking about the relative safety of women in our urban environment. He's using as an example a woman yesterday who picked up a cigarette butt off the street that Ted had tossed into the street and threw it back into his car. What did she say?
Well, she was screaming at her. I mean, she said to me something like, you know, why don't you dirty up your own house? Or I forget what she said. It's beside the point.
Well, what did you do?
I'm sorry?
What did you do when she threw that? You said if you hadn't been a gentleman, you would have torn her apart.
Oh, without question.
If it had been a man, you would have attacked him.
I would have ripped him to shreds. I would have made his mother wish he was never born. You threw a cigarette butt into my car? Brother, you had...
And never mind the fact that you threw it out onto the street.
Phil, let me explain something to you. I'm Ted Bell. I built one of the most successful restaurants in Beverly Hills. We have the other new location, by the way. Honolulu has just opened up. I'm a success, and plus the Walnut Creek and our Georgetown location.
Yeah, I know where all of them are.
All right. I'm a successful businessman, and I'm a little perplexed and frustrated that you don't seem to have the... Forgive me, Phil, but you don't seem to have the brains to understand what I'm saying. I pitched a cigarette butt out onto the street so I could put two hands on the wheel of my car and avoid hitting, and it turned out to be Steve Levitan's Mercedes, and if you don't know who he is... he's one of the hottest producers in town. Okay?
All right, I understand.
All right, so I could have rear-ended his car. I had to grab the car. And then if I'd hit him, I would have had to have sued him and on and on. And this whore picks it up off the street and throws it...
Now, you said she had two kids in the car?
She had something in the car. I think what I saw was a car seat with something in it, yeah.
And this whore?
Okay. I'm Ted Bell. I built one of the most successful...
I know, restaurants in Beverly Hills.
I don't want to be preempted here, Phil. What I'm trying to tell the ladies is this. Ladies, when you walk into a situation, size up the situation first, okay? If you pick up a cigarette butt, for instance, and pitch it in... Some guys may not mind it. Some guys may think that it's wrong. But if you pick up a cigarette butt and throw it into my car... What I was thinking of doing was pinning her hand on the fender, taking the crowbar out of the trunk of my car, and breaking every bone in her hand. But I'm a gentleman, and I don't do that. And I resent the fact that...
You're talking about giving her an acid wash with battery acid and...
For throwing a cigarette butt into my car?
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, how dare she dirty the car and... And it simply boggles my mind as to why these women keep putting themselves in danger. We must have a generation of some of the stupidest women in the history of the United States of America.
All right, let me go over here to Corey. Corey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, man, this is just killing me. I can't even believe this. How dare you call yourself a gentleman? First of all, if you're so worried about your car, don't smoke in it. Secondly, how dare you call yourself a gentleman?
Don't tell me what to do with my car.
When
that's
you're
my
littering
car.
My street. How
your
dare
street?
You?
Wait a minute.
You call yourself a gentleman?
Yes,
a gentleman
I am.
Wouldn't even be having thoughts like that.
I'm
a gentleman.
Why am I not a gentleman? If
How
I
dare
you?
It's okay for you to smoke. You're
smoking
about
in my
car.
Car.
Why are you smoking in it in the first place?
First of all, it's none of your business.
You
I'm smoking in my car.
You're a litter bug?
Hey, look at
this. That doesn't work
She's
for me.
One of these Nazis that thinks that I can't smoke in my own car. Get a load of that.
Well, wait a minute. All right.
No,
forget about
no,
whether
that's
you smoke.
Not what I said.
Yeah, okay.
Sig
Heil.
Sig
Heil.
If you're worried about smoking in your if you're worried about ruining your car, don't smoke
ma'am,
in
ma'am, can I make a point?
The smoke damage is way worse
no.
than any bird
no.
hole in your stupid
yeah,
leather seat.
What about that? What about the smoke damage to the car?
If you want to be considered a gentleman, act like one.
What about the smoke?
You're not.
What about the smoke damage to the car, Ted? That's a good point.
First of all, cigarette smoke in an automobile smells mixed with leather is a very desirable smell. It smells like a den. It is a very desirable. Ask it. Well, you know what? If you don't want to drive a Ferrari, that's your business, okay? But the 456 GT is one of the most fantastic.
No, I don't care about what the car
first
you
of all,
it doesn't matter what the car is. You are no gentleman.
I'm not a gentleman.
Litter in the first place.
I could have taken her apart.
Habit, and why should the taxpayers pay to pick your stupid cigarette butts off the street?
I resent
the point.
Mr. Henry, I resent you having people call this show just to argue with me.
I haven't had anybody call this show.
Well, I think you've stacked some ringers.
No, do I know you, ma'am? Ma'am? Corey. She's gone. All right, I don't know any of these people that are calling.
Well, I resent the fact that right out of the box, you got a woman calling who doesn't understand what it would be like. That woman threw a cigarette into my car. She is lucky she has two legs that are the same length today, because I'll tell you what, she almost lost a foot. What she did to me.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Are women safe on our streets? Ted Bell advises women not to walk into dangerous situations, but the situation he's bringing up here is that a woman threw a cigarette butt into his car after he'd pitched it out onto the street. She picked it up and threw it back in, and he said if he hadn't been a gentleman, he would have given her face an acid wash. I mean, that's bizarre. And then said that she'd lose a foot and that he'd break her hands with a crowbar. And, you know, Ted, all of these...
I really resent you making me sound like a psychopath, Phil. I said if I wasn't a gentleman, I'd do that. Did I do it?
Ted.
Did I do it?
No, of course you didn't.
Then please don't make it sound like I did.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Chats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This is Ted Bell. I'm flying to Mexico for the next couple of days, but when I come back, I hope that we are going to have an outstanding appearance.
Ted, we lost connection there. If you want to make the pitch again.
You're saying that we're going to be bringing some seafood from Mexico.
All right, Ted Bell is with us, 1-800-449-8686. You pitched a cigarette butt out onto the street in front of the Ivy restaurant. A woman didn't like it, picked it up, and threw it back into your car. And you're saying she put herself in a dangerous position, right?
Absolutely. See, ladies, what I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't think that you're going to walk up to a man and challenge him because he may rip you to shreds. Now, understand, Phil, that by virtue of the fact that I'm a man, I'm stronger than a woman. That's number one. Because I'm stronger than a woman, I can do serious physical damage to her. It's only because I'm a gentleman that that woman is still walking around with her nose not completely, crooked. And her eyes...
All right, you're saying you would have beaten the hell out of her had it been a man.
Oh, absolutely. No man was going to pick up a cigarette butt and throw it into my car. And I would have caught... See, the problem with that woman and the problem with a lot of women who will challenge men like that is they hate men. And I find this time and again in my travels, I find that a lot of women just flat hate men. And so they will challenge men and they will bother them and they will do things that make them angry. And when you do that, you know...
All right, I got to get a direct answer. You threw the cigarette butt out onto the street.
Yes.
You don't deny that?
I don't deny it.
And that's okay with you?
Who am I going to hurt? Who's it burning down?
It's littering. There's a $500 fine against littering. There's a $500 fine against...
Look, you know, if I hit that car, if I hit Levitan's car, then what we're talking about, I got to sue him.
I don't know what you mean if you hit his car.
Because I had to take I needed two hands.
So you throw a cigarette butt out into the street.
Yes. Look at Phil. There's nothing's going to burn down. This thing about throwing cigarettes out into the street is way overrated. I think that, first of all, a lot of the non-smoking people who are like nothing less than fascists If this was Germany, those same people that are against smokers would be poking and prodding Jews into cattle cars. There's no difference. And so when I stand up to them, of course, I'm a bad guy.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Jews into cattle cars, huh?
Absolutely.
Tabitha, go ahead.
The gentleman that you've got on the air, he's not making his point really clear. You're coming across as being kind of a pig about this.
What do you mean a pig?
Well, just the way that you're projecting yourself. You know, you're saying that if it was a man, you would have beat him to a pulp or whatever.
Well, of course.
And you being a gentleman, you didn't act upon what you really wanted to do.
Yes.
But it's the way that you're making your point. You're coming across as being like a chauvinist.
Well, I don't know what you mean. The woman, I could have beaten her to death with a baseball bat, which I keep in the back of my car. But I didn't because I'm a gentleman.
Okay, but you're not making your point across.
My point is this. Just because I throw a cigarette out into the street doesn't mean if you're a woman, you're safe in picking it up and throwing it back in my car. Women are weaker than men. That's number one.
Right.
And so if you challenge a man, you're probably going to get beaten up pretty bad. So that's my main point.
But you say you're going to beat some guy to death if he confronts you. So everybody is...
Well, I mean, a man is... at least I'll talk it out with the man.
Why would you talk it out with him?
I think that in that... you don't know if the guy may be stronger than me.
So in other words, anybody you can beat up...
No, Phil, you're making me sound like a bully.
No, that's exactly what you sound like. Anybody you can beat up, you'll beat up. And if the guy's bigger than you, you'll talk it out.
No, look, I'm Ted Bell. No one throws a cigarette butt into the back of a
Ferrari 456 GT. I got it.
Mr. Bell, you keep throwing that. Your
I'm
name.
I'm Ted Bell. I have every right
to... It doesn't matter whether you're Ted Bell or not.
Don't you,
you know,
think...
You're making that you're like you're better than anybody else.
Don't
because
you think...
you drive a Ferrari that there's only 15 in the world.
Don't you think that the people I employ in this town, I have a right to throw cigarette butts out into the street and garbage in the street?
No, sir.
I employ a lot of people.
No, of course
matter.
You
it's
don't.
The ethics of the thing.
Right. Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the line with us. The thing that you said, Ted, that I think kind of belies something here is that if it's a man, you wouldn't go after him.
No. I mean, I would at least talk about it because there are things that men understand. That
yeah, what you're afraid of is the guy's going to beat you up, but the woman won't.
No, you can't talk to women. The only thing, many times, they are asking for it. They want it. Take a cigarette butt and throw it into my Ferrari, and you want to have one leg shorter than the other. You want to have a steel plate in your head, if you're a woman. But I'm a gentleman, so I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, uh-huh. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Say, stroller. Well, if the woman
was pushing a stroller and the cigarette butt hit her kid?
I have no way of knowing that that's true. She claims that the cigarette butt went down a jumper that the child was wearing. But I think that it is very typical of women to automatically hold their kid up and say, well, you know, you hurt my kid before they do something stupid. Like walk into a buzzsaw, which this woman almost did.
We're talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. He flicked a cigarette out onto the street. I thought this was about women's safety. I thought
it absolutely is about women's safety.
Well, so far what you're saying is, here, ladies, you want to be safe? Don't throw a cigarette butt. Don't throw a cigarette butt into Ted Bell's Ferrari.
Well, if you think it's funny, I can tell you that that woman who threw that cigarette butt into my car... I told her if I ever saw her again, I would mess her face up. But because she's a woman, I'd let her go that time.
You'd mess her face up. You'd acid wash her face. You'd break her hands with a crowbar. You'd have one leg shorter than the other. But you're a gentleman.
Yes. I don't understand.
Don't you think there's something unusual about a man that can think up things like this?
Think up? You know the problem with you, Henry, is you're politically correct. You know, there's a lot of...
I don't go down that politically correct thing.
No, you're politically correct. There's a lot of things that you don't think should be said. And I don't think that it's necessarily wrong of a man to say to a woman, look, stay out of dangerous situations. And for the women listening to your program, one of the dangerous situations they should avoid is pissing me off. I'm Ted Bell. I built...
Ted's of Beverly Hills, right. 1-800-449...
And I don't appreciate being preempted, Bill.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you see somebody throw a cigarette butt out the window, what's your first instinct? To pick it up and throw it back in? Anyway, here is Diane. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Diane.
Hi. I just got to say, Mr. Bell, that you are really a jerk. I agree with you that the woman was wrong to throw the cigarette into your car. But if you don't... You just make
yourself you got your radio
sound
turned
so
up, ma'am?
Stupid. Just because you're Ted Bell doesn't give you the right to throw a cigarette on the floor.
Wait, what does
just
she get? She's throwing it into my
just
car.
Just because you employ a lot of people doesn't give you the right to litter.
Wait a minute. I paid $50 to have my car parked by that valet. That means in other words, I don't get to throw a cigarette butt out?
No, you should never throw a cigarette butt out the window, no matter where you are. And if you're so concerned about your car, you shouldn't be smoking in it.
Let me ask you a question, Ted. Why didn't you put the cigarette out in the ashtray?
Because I had about $2 worth of change in there. I didn't want to put ashes in the change.
No, you didn't want to put the cigarette out in your car because you didn't want to dirty the ashtray.
Look, Diane, I give a lot of money to the community. The cops are not going to ticket me for littering, okay? That's never going to happen. The Beverly Hills cops are never going to ticket me for littering.
Oh, my God. You just sound like such an idiot.
Why? Because I happen to evaluate Ferrari?
You just think you're better than everybody else.
Look, I'm Ted Bell.
I know that you're Ted Bell.
You've said that a million times. We all know that you're Ted Bell and
can
that
I
you
say
employ
something,
a
Diane?
Lot of people.
Did you ever see the film Lethal Weapon?
Yes.
All right. There isn't a cop in the Beverly Hills Police Department with balls big enough to ticket me.
Let's not talk about movies,
okay?
Yeah,
let's not talk about movies.
That's just getting off the subject here.
And ever since this show Alias with Jennifer Garner went on the air, women think they've got all this power and they can kick ass on men.
You know what, Mr. Bell, you know why women aren't safe? Women aren't safe because of men like you.
No, women aren't safe because they're doing stupid things.
Look,
I'm not going to disagree.
Everybody is agreeing that the lady did something dumb by flicking the cigarette back in. You can get yourself killed. You're right. You do that to the wrong guy, he's going to pull a gun, he's going to pull a knife, he'll do something, okay? And maybe she is right. Maybe she's lucky that she ran into you. You still got some pretty psycho thoughts, and the fact that you're littering...
Okay, so it's all about me. After the two of you agreed that the woman was way off base, it's all about me. Well,
You were both wrong.
Women should maybe spend a little more time raising their kids properly instead of looking around for...
Oh, my God, you are a male chauvinist pig.
No, can I ask you a question? What's she doing on her hands and knees looking for butts to smoke? What is that about?
I don't think that's what she was doing.
You said...
She got mad that you threw a cigarette butt out, and I didn't hear about whether you hit her child in a stroller or something. If you did, that makes it even worse.
The cigarette butt apparently went down the kid's jumper.
That's what she claimed.
That's pretty serious.
Well, there was a fire in the stroller.
What do you mean a fire in the stroller?
Oh, my God.
All I'm saying... Let me ask you something, Diane. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm over 40.
Well, you sound attractive. I'd like to invite you to Ted's of Beverly Hills for the filet mignon.
That's very nice of you, but you're changing the subject now.
Let me tell
you something, Mr. Bell. If you threw a cigarette butt that landed in my child's stroller, you'd be in court. I'd be suing you. You wouldn't have to worry about suing the guy whose car you hit.
Wait a minute. How do you know you'd make it to court? I'd take you apart with my bare hand.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. You are an animal.
And her kid looks like he would have been improved with a few burn marks.
All right, ma'am, I know you're kidding, right?
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Thank you very much.
You need help.
Yeah, I do need help, and we took out an ad for busboys yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. Haven't you got to get that plane?
No, hold on for a minute. Jack, when's the plane leave? Wait, why aren't we in a first-class lounge? GD, those sons of bitches.
Okay, do you have to leave?
No, yeah, well, I was going to leave. The plane's been delayed a half hour because the weather back east sucks ass. What? Oh, United Airlines.
All right, Ted, I want to thank you for being on the show and talking to us. What are you doing?
Threw a cigarette butt at me. I'll take the whore apart.
All right, thanks, Ted, for being on our show and talking to us about the safety of women. I guess the moral of the story... Will you hang the phone up or something? The moral of the story... The moral of the story is, if you're a woman and you want to be safe, stay away from Ted. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website, philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. And you'll probably hear the preceding Ted Bell bit up on the site shortly. That is one of the 3 hours we do every day. And that's archived in our 30-day archive, the entire show. And guess what? If you get a backstage pass... Now, what is a backstage pass? It's the price to get onto our site for $6.95, because we're not giving this away on the internet. But I will tell you one thing that we are doing. We have years and years of show material archived on our website, classic radio comedy. And what we have decided we'll do is that we allow you to, when you live stream the show, if you get a backstage pass and you begin to live stream the show, you can download the show. You can burn that sucker to disc, and I don't care who knows it. Go ahead. Recording business may be in big, big trouble. The record industry may be ready to just go down for the third time. We don't care. Go ahead and download it, but you're going to have to pay $6.95 to get on the site to do it. Additionally, we also have our souvenir shop, and if you haven't figured it out already, that was me doing the voice of Ted Bell. The people that called in thought he was a real guy, and that's kind of like the fun of the whole deal. Ted has his own shop at our souvenir shop. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Honolulu. We got the Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron, Ted's of Beverly Hills coasters and shot glasses, and pretty soon barbecue utensils. I mean, it's insane. It's all there at our website, philhenryshow.com. Visit soon.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First off, I'm going to tell him I'm a very proud American, and I don't...
Well, I would expect you to say that. I would expect you to say that, Pat.
Well, and if you would, then you'd know that our deep roots are situated where we've already broken away from you guys. We don't really feel like we need your help.
Well, it's one of the things Americans love to do is remind us of the fact that you're no longer part of the colonies. We understand that the queen is no longer your queen. But I'm trying to say here is that it's not in your best interest to continue to offend our monarchy while you're waiting for us to supply you with fighter jets and British pilots. And you see what I'm saying?
In the last big major world conflict, who solicited whose help?
Now, which one would that be?
Beg your pardon?
I don't know which one you're talking. Is it Gulf War, or was it Vietnam, or was it Korea?
I believe I'm talking about
World
the
War
one
II.
in which London was bombed by the.
You see, Patton, here's the interesting thing about that. We more than paid you back for that, because while the Yanks were definitely on the continent fighting, London. The Yanks is a slang term for America.
Why don't you call us Americans, okay?
Yanks?
Right.
But the reason why we call you Yanks is because sometimes it's in our mind, you're sitting around and you're pulling it. Right?
Because you guys are pompous.
You've always been
a bunch of pompous asses.
Would you deny that you're overly concerned with a violation of someone's bum? And anal penetration and this sort of thing in America that I can't understand.
I'm overly concerned if it's mine.
Well, you should be, but I'm saying it becomes a look at that. While you Americans were in the continent and you were fighting the Germans, you were also over in Britain, and you were violating
the asses of our wives and our girlfriends. So that
wait a minute. That's a crude and...
We all know the Yanks were with all the British women. Were you, Pat, were you there?
No, sir. I'm not old enough.
All right. Well, we had all these Yanks over there. They had their way with our women. They had their way with our daughters.
Well, there was no American raping women over there.
Well, I beg to differ.
Let me ask you, and
I will tell you, anal sex was introduced to Britain by the Yanks.
I mean, are we going to go back and talk about history?
Yeah, the Yanks love to defile the bum of either men or women.
Well, hold on. Pat, go ahead. Say what you wanted to say.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Phil.
Good Lord.
How far back are you going when you're talking about this bum history?
I'm saying that the first time that
let me finish my question.
Well, go right ahead.
And then somebody violating someone else's, whether it be a bum or whatever, because... let's all face it. The reason that
you are going to get to your point here, Pat, aren't you? You're going to
allow the man. He's not as conversant as you are. It's his first time on the radio. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm not as pompous as you, sir.
Well, I'm not trying to be pompous, but as it was,
who violated who first?
Americans.
We're talking about violation, whether it be violating someone's bum,
well,
and someone being overly concerned about someone's bung.
Well, no, I'm just
violated.
It was genuine.
Who violated who first?
I would say that, and I said this before, that the Americans.
Have you guys rewritten?
Americans
rewritten
always
the
put their nose in the dirty spots. So January 5th, 1943, when the first bum penetration happened in London, and it was performed by an American on a British woman. Now, the idea...
You don't know that for a fact. This is all slander. What a horrible thing to say about a country that did have a lot of troops stationed in your country.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. We're going to hear about all you Yanks now. We'd be speaking German. Isn't that right, Pat? Isn't that what you were going to say? That's right.
You are a pompous ass.
What we're afraid of is if we have a monarchy, if we want a monarchy,
yes,
then us moral, decent, God-fearing people over here are all going to be bomb lovers.
Well, so you're saying then that the Brits are the ones that are involved in this sort of thing? I will tell you this. The monarchy would help America. First of all, it would get you away from the TV set for the first time, perhaps in several months, I would imagine. Secondly, it might get you re-involved in the democratic process, because once you get a taste of a king, you might not like it. And, Pat, you would be in London for an hour, and you'd be looking for a bum to penetrate, because you're an American.
Oh, and really?
This has turned into an insult, fest, hasn't it?
No, it's not an insult fest. It's the fact that American servicemen came to Britain, looked up the first British woman that they could find, laid her over a coffee table.
Okay.
Well, y'all have the freedoms in Europe. Hello?
What is this?
Pat, I want you to listen to this, because this was truly the first anthem of a democratic nation. The parliamentary process was introduced into Great Britain in the 17th century, and it was introduced into America in the 18th century, so I think we've got about a 100-year head start on you, and I would appreciate it if the next time you set foot on this plot of green that we call jolly old England, you keep your hands and other body parts away from my wife's arse. Thank you.
What a crude bastard.
Well, he would...
Yeah.
Well...
Okay. Yeah.
Bastard.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You're the reason why some of this sexual harassment, erroneous sexual harassment suits have been filed. And, sir, you were out of line. I don't care if she was dressed up as a hooker and she was in a total see-through costume. You do not approach somebody like that at work. You don't carry on behavior.
Okay.
And you are a manager. You are a manager.
Why don't you answer my question?
Go ahead.
How come she's wearing a costume like that if she doesn't want it?
When she wants it. Now you're a psychologist and a telepathic mind reader. What the hell does the costume have to do with it? That's ridiculous, sir.
Absolutely
ridiculous. You're a manager of employees. How could you carry on like this? You're a pig. And you should be twisting in the wind. Again, as Mr. Henry brought up, what that means that a girl that's walking down the street in a bikini wants you to reveal the rest of her clothes because she's secretly wanting to be nude because she's in a bikini? Give me a break,
sir. Well,
that's
absurd. That's not a costume. That happens to be a swimsuit.
Well, so is it.
I'm talking about a costume where she's tight. She might as well have had a sign on her rear end that said "Dirt Road Ahead."
Well, why would you engage in behavior with someone like that at work? Why, when the previous caller,
yeah.
You know, why don't you just ask the girl out for coffee? You know, be an adult. You don't carry on like you're a sophomore in high school with your hormones out of control because what you think this lady wanted. Come on.
This is the problem that you're going to be in, and you're going to have her attorney telling you, do you read words?
And he deserves to twist in the wind. He was out of line. He was a pig. He was not a gentleman about this because what he thought, you know, you don't carry on with what you think. You act like an adult and you ask the lady out in a nice fashion. You ask her for coffee.
Since when do guys not stick together in this stuff anymore? You're calling
since
me.
When? What are you talking about? I am a gentleman. I behave with people that I work with in a professional manner. And if there was someone, I've been married for 21 years, but if there was someone. First of all, to be friends and then carry into sexual contact, I wouldn't jam my tongue down her throat and lick her face because of what I thought she wanted.
You sound like your wife put you on the phone.
No, in a semi. My wife's 150 miles away from me, sir.
Right.
And I'm only.
You pull into Dolly's truck stop for a piece of pie and Dolly's dressed up like a devil, you're going to want more than a piece of pie.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Bill Henry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Tell me why you wanted to come on the program today, Miss Gray.
I am on your program because I don't know where else to turn. My husband is in trouble, and as a result of me trying to help him, I've also gotten myself into some trouble. This afternoon, I was leaving a friend's home in Woodland Hills as I spoke to your producer, and I was at that time stopped by the L.A. County Sheriff.
Now, they arrested you for possession of a controlled substance. It was marijuana, correct?
That is correct. They claimed that there was intent to sell. I told them that it was for my husband. I was released on bond, and I can tell you that nothing like this has ever happened to me or my family.
Now, you were in possession of the marijuana for medical reasons, right?
I had purchased it for my husband because he is in incredible pain, and we cannot, under current California law, get a medical marijuana prescription. I think it is selfish. I think it is wrong. I know for a fact, and there are people that identify with this, there are others who get medical marijuana prescriptions, people who are suffering, so-called suffering from cancer, why they are allowed this when there are so many other drugs to fight their pain. People who are suffering from cancer, who get medical marijuana prescriptions, are terminal cases. That means that they are going to die. And yet, they are allowed, even though they are terminal, they are allowed to smoke this marijuana. Now, they give, to them, Frank is not eligible. And I can tell you that...
All right, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You want your husband to get a medical marijuana prescription. You were denied, and so you were scoring weed from, and I'm not going to ask you who, okay? Why did the police stop you?
The police stopped me for a mechanical violation on my car, for a tail light that was out.
How did they know you had marijuana?
Because they could smell I had smoked some in the car.
You smoked some in the car before you left, or you were smoking it?
No, before we left, I had smoked some in the car outside the house. I had tried it. My husband has been physically abusive with me. And he's been particularly physically abusive when I have come home with marijuana that he considers substandard. In other words, he will...
All right, so in other words, he rolls a joint, and if it's not good, he's beat you up?
He he has become physically abusive toward me and our son, yes, if I have brought home substandard marijuana. So I have a friend who's in show business, who lives in Woodland Hills, and for obvious reasons I won't give their name.
Of course.
But they have been able to... Now, I don't blame my husband. You have to understand, Phil, he has hit me. But I think in a lot of ways I've provoked it, and it's my fault. He desperately needs medical marijuana, and I haven't done enough to get it for him. I've gone out and illicitly obtained it, and today I got myself arrested. I understand when Frank lashes out at me physically. What we're asking of you is a forum where I can come on once a week on your radio network, a three-hour forum where I can talk about the medical marijuana issue, and where people such as my husband may be able to get some help if we can talk about this.
Can you tell me what pain your husband, is he? Does he have cancer?
No. My husband is in terrible pain. He has sciatic pain.
Can you tell me how that happened? Your husband, Frank, has a back pain?
He was involved in a merger. My husband is a corporate attorney. He was involved in a merger that would have meant $150 million to our family. You can well imagine what that means.
All right.
He got a call on his cell phone while he was at lunch at the Ivy restaurant from a secretary, no less, which I still can't believe, telling him the merger was off. And this was a merger between, I don't want to name the companies, one was an aerospace business and another that my husband's involved in. Obviously, he was very upset. Obviously, he was very angry. He turned and he lashed out physically. He kicked the driver's side door of his Cadillac, which, according to the doctor, tore the cruciate, it's the anterior cruciate muscle.
Is that in the knee?
Yes. Which, in turn, pinched the sciatica nerve, which, if you've never had back pain, it's terribly, terribly painful.
All right, Margaret, our number is 1-800-449-8686. You're asking that you get a three-hour talk show to talk about these things?
I need a platform. I need a platform to talk about these individuals who get medical marijuana even though they're going to be dead soon, or individuals who get medical marijuana who have this thing called glaucoma. So we give medical marijuana out to individuals that are walking dead men or people that are blind. But my husband, who had the world come crashing down on him one afternoon at the Ivy restaurant, who lashed out physically, he can't get medical marijuana for his pain. I want a three-hour radio show. I need a platform to talk about this. My husband lies in bed in agony. So what I would like is a radio show, Sunday evenings, to press my case to the public, to give them awareness about medical marijuana and the other things that are on my mind. We wanted to do some other things.
All right. This is coming as a surprise. You want a radio show on my network?
Yes.
To talk about your husband needs medical marijuana?
Yes. I think people need to know that individuals that are walking cadavers get medical marijuana, and my husband, who lost $150 million and is forced to strike his wife and son because of the pain he feels, we can't get him medical marijuana. I have to go out and get it illicitly. I blame myself more than anything.
Well, Ms. Gray, you have said that you're to blame for him beating you, that it's your fault that you were arrested for, and yes, it is your fault that you were arrested for obtaining marijuana for him, but you were buying it illegally. You're saying that people with cancer don't deserve medical marijuana because they're walking dead men, and you say that the people with glaucoma are blind anyway. I think it's an insensitive position.
Well, Phil,
but I'm willing to give our phone number here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, talking here with Margaret Gray. To ask me for 3 hours of airtime on our radio network, I don't know why you would come to me. You know, I don't know.
Well, the reason why I'm coming to you, Phil, is because you have access to a radio network. I've been on your program before. I really need to educate people about this. I get arrested today for possession of a controlled substance, and they also charge me with a suspicion to deal a controlled substance, which I am not trying to sell it at all.
How much did you have?
I had several ounces.
several, can you tell me, like...
I had about 10 ounces.
10 ounces of marijuana is a lot of marijuana.
Well, I don't want to be buying it every week, because the pain that my husband is in, generally, he will smoke, I don't know, he'll...
Do you smoke it with him?
I do occasionally, yeah, but he smokes anywhere from an ounce to 2 ounces every 2 days.
God, that's a lot of weed to smoke. That is a lot.
He is in a lot of pain.
And he got this pain by kicking the door of his Cadillac when he lost a $50 million merger.
And I know that people think that that doesn't qualify for medical marijuana. Let me enlighten you. My husband is a vital businessman who is in horrible pain because a merger fell through. Because he was dealing with some people, and I don't want to mention any names, but they've got a Jewish last name. And
Well, I don't want to get into why the guy's merger fell apart. Let's suffice to say that the merger fell apart, which caused him to get angry. You say he kicked the driver's side door of his Cadillac, which ripped his knee ligament and caused sciatica pain.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've been arrested today for possession of marijuana, trying to get him marijuana. Because you can't get a medical marijuana prescription.
No, we cannot, and it's very unfair.
Unfair to you, unfair to your...
Unfair to me, unfair to my husband. As long as my husband's in this pain...
Well, the other thing that you said is that your husband abuses you physically, and...
But I understand that.
How can you understand that?
Because I bring it on. My son brings it on. We have to understand, he's a brilliant man. If you knew Frank, he's brilliant. He has engineered some of the greatest mergers in this country. And I think it's a small price to pay to have a man like that, in a time of need, lash out physically and slap you or kick you or... I'm not saying...
This is you roll the clock back on every woman listening to this show.
I'm not saying that I enjoy it, Phil.
No, you roll the clock back on any woman who's ever been abused by a man. You say that it's a pleasure to get slapped?
No, I'm saying I understand it. When my husband slaps my face... When he pins Jason J. Delmonico up against a door, when he pushes him into a shower stall and takes his belt off and beats him, and these are horror stories. These are...
Oh, my God!
Yes. But I say to myself, he is a brilliant man, and brilliant men need to be given a little bit of leeway. Frank has the opportunity to do some good for this country, Phil. Medical marijuana patients who are cancer patients... are going to be in a pine box in about 6-7 months. Why waste good dope on them?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. There's a lot going on with that lady's phone call. Her husband is a brilliant man who's in extreme pain, so she understands why on occasion he beats her. She also wants this man to obtain medical marijuana prescriptions, which he can't. So she's out scoring the stuff illegally and was arrested for it. And on top of everything else, she feels that cancer patients who are medical marijuana prescription recipients are walking dead people. Why waste good dope on them, I think was the quote I just heard. 1-800-449-8686. This is a very interesting conversation about medical marijuana and spousal abuse. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Back with Margaret Gray, who is a reporter, has a column. She wants you're asking me for a radio show to air your feelings about medical marijuana. You feel your husband deserves it, even though he has pain from kicking the door of a Cadillac.
Well, you're the sound of your voice. In other words, you don't think he's entitled to it. I mean, I think it's very selfish, Phil.
Well, wait a minute. Some people have cancer. And they want the medical marijuana. Your husband kicked the door of a Cadillac because a $150 million merger fell through.
My husband goes out into the world every day and brilliantly sculpts these business arrangements that people can only guess at. Frank is a brilliant man. And, all right, I put up with things that...
You know, it doesn't sound to me like you understand what you're doing. You're buying him marijuana. You're allowing him to beat you. You're allowing him to beat your son.
He is a brilliant... If you knew Frank, you'd understand.
All right.
Frank is on the board of directors to get the Olympics here in 2014. I don't see any cancer patient doing that. Do you see a cancer patient helping us get the Olympics in Los Angeles? No. Frank Gray is. And in the meantime, he is in utter agony, and I've got to go down into some of the most ethnic areas of this city to score dope for him. I think it's wrong.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is it Eileen?
Yep.
Go ahead, Eileen.
Well, I just called because I wanted to find out if this was real.
Absolutely.
I've been listening to this insane woman talking about how it's understandable.
Ms. Gray, do you feel that you deserve to be beaten?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, then you keep giving him excuses.
No, but she said she understands. There is no reason for any man to lay a hand on a woman. And the fact that she allows him to beat her son makes her just as abusive as him, and they both deserve to go to jail.
Can I ask you something? Are you married to a brilliant man? Do you know what I mean when I say a brilliant man?
Brilliant, as in the way that he needs to smoke dope every day just to get through his life and beats his child? That's not brilliant.
A man who builds buildings.
I think that you have mental
dreams. Problems
to even think that your husband is brilliant. If he was brilliant, he wouldn't have kicked the car in the first place, and he brought it in himself.
The people that have cancer
that need to smoke pot, they know they're going to die. That's part of the emotional pain, that they need the pot just to get to sleep, just to get through the day of watching their family watch them die.
You don't even understand
the pain that they're going through. It has nothing to do with what you're going through.
I think that's well said, Eileen. I mean, a lot of their pain is emotional.
Oh, well, poor darlings, emotional pain. I understand that cancer is a very serious illness, and I know they're going to die. What I'm asking is this. If you're going to give perfectly good marijuana to people that'll be dead within a year, and I've got a husband who is putting together the 2014 Olympics, who has built a library for UCLA, you should ask yourself that question, because the answer is he is a hardworking, loving man. I allow him to beat my son.
I don't think loving men beat their families. How much could he possibly love you if he could inflict that kind of pain on you and your child?
My son understands why Frank slaps him, because my son is going to be an actor someday.
What is it that he understands? What is a good reason to slap a child? You tell me. I would like to know what
a good reason
is. When the
child doesn't mind and the child acts selfish. And there have been times that I've lashed out,
too. He's a child. That's what children do.
You,
as the mother, are there to protect him, not to allow it.
If you were married to a brilliant man, you might appreciate getting your face slapped occasionally as well, but you don't.
No, I don't think I would. If any man ever touched me, I'd cut his hand off and shove it down his throat.
Is that right? Well, if you were married to a brilliant man, you would take his beatings gladly, because brilliance translates into sexual energy, and I don't think I have to explain that to you.
Oh, well, okay, so now what we're getting here is the guy's great in bed, so you let him... He makes a lot of money, and he's great in bed, so you let him beat you.
He doesn't
beat me. I have a boyfriend that is amazing in bed and makes great money and loves to spend it on me, but if he ever laid a hand on me, I'd be out the door.
Language, gotta watch your language there, man. Hold on. All right, are we... Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray with us here. Let me go on to Graham. Go ahead.
Margaret, the only emotional pain that you're going through right now is the fact that you're losing $150 million. It's got nothing to do with these cancer patients. That's emotional pain.
I didn't say it was my pain. I said it was Frank's pain.
Well, you got some serious, serious problems right now, and I think you're the one smoking a lot of the dope here. It's not for your husband. All right? You shouldn't
isn't
be allowing
that,
anybody to touch your son or yourself.
My husband is, I could listen by the cadence of your speech that perhaps you work for someone instead of...
Actually, I have my own company,
okay.
And brilliance doesn't mean anything.
You're a little, do you have any idea what it feels like to have a sciatica nerve pinched? There is no pain like it.
He did it to himself, Margaret. He flipped out on himself, and he flipped out, and he banged his knee up against the car door.
Do you think a man
what kind
cancer?
Of brilliant man's going to do that?
He did it to himself.
These people didn't get cancer because they went out and took a pill for cancer.
All right, hold on.
Do you think if a man has cancer, he should be allowed medical marijuana?
100% he should.
All right, what if it's lung cancer from smoking? Oh, I got you. Oh!
Oh, 100%.
Oh,
why
I got
not?
Yeah, he
why
brought it
not?
On himself.
He
brought it on himself.
He's got a disease.
He brought
he's
it
dying.
On himself. He's
Your
broke.
Husband's not
he's
dying.
Broke.
He's got
oh,
some
yeah.
type of nerve problem.
All right, so you got him.
See, he brought it on himself by smoking. So
well,
that, that
hey,
blows
if
your...
I,
that
if,
blows
I'm, your... if I'm a smoker and it turns out that I have cancer, well... Sure, I'll want to smoke some marijuana too, but...
Hey, name me one cancer patient who deals with a $150 million merger well. Not bloody likely.
Well,
all right.
$150 million is nothing.
In his pocket.
Okay. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. In his pocket, he'd make the $150
million? This was a $150 million, $150 million merger. Frank's fee. This was a finder's fee. You can well imagine we're talking into the billions of dollars.
All right, Margaret Gray is on the line with us. All right, so he lost a $150 million paycheck, correct?
Yes.
And as a result, he kicked the door of his Cadillac, ripped his knee ligament, and he wants medical marijuana. When we come back, I want you to go into more detail on how you feel it's okay for Frank to beat you because he's brilliant. And why you think cancer patients don't deserve marijuana because they're the walking dead anyway. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I understand you feel that your husband has done a lot.
Phil, you have to understand who Frank Gray is. Frank Gray was a major television producer. He single-handedly, along with a great many other people, though, but he single-handedly really resurrected Liza Minnelli's career, has personally donated $1 million to Jerry's kids. Now I ask to roll a lousy joint for my husband because he's in brutal pain. You know, he didn't kick the door because he lost the merger. He kicked the door because they had a secretary call him and give him the news. Buckingham didn't call. Some little girl who works the desk and comes to work with no underwear on and sees how far she can push it, she calls my husband like a slut in the middle of the afternoon, gives him the worst news of his life. She might as well have given him a dose. She might...
Well, you're angry. I mean...
Of course I'm angry, Phil. You take a man like this who helped rebuild the watchtowers. And
look, I'll give you that Frank has done a lot of stuff. But to say that the people with cancer are the walking dead and don't deserve medical marijuana and letting him beat you... 1-800-449-8686. This is, hold on for a minute. This is Nikki. Go ahead, Nikki.
Margaret, can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Margaret?
She's talking to you.
Yes.
You need to give yourself, you need to take a step back, Margaret, and think about what your husband is doing to you and your son.
Oh, I do every night
you
at about
1 a.m. You say that he is a brilliant man. How dare he jeopardize
brilliant.
Your life and your son's life and send you down there. Why doesn't he go down there himself? Why do you have to go down there and get it for him? Why are you not taking care of your son?
Can I tell
your
you something?
Son is the most important thing here, not
yes.
money.
Yes, my son's
not
very important.
Not status. Not
who do you
is.
Think?
It's you and your son.
Nikki, who do you think designed the Matterhorn at Disneyland?
I don't care. Does it matter? Does your son care who designed it? Does he care? Or
do
you care that his dad is abusing you? And him. What's it doing to him?
Jason J. Delmonico understands that his father beat
don't
him for his own...
That,
You know what, Margaret?
Yes.
I'm a victim of abuse. I know exactly where you're at.
Can I ask
exactly.
you something? Can I ask you
and
something
And you need
here?
To start thinking about the life of your
yes,
son.
Absolutely.
Forget the money.
Were you beaten by a brilliant man, or was he just a drunk? I don't know. I don't
well,
know.
That's
a hell of a question.
Is brilliant if he's beating you and putting
what?
You in a position where you could get killed to get him drugs.
What kind of a question is that to ask? Were you beaten by a brilliant man?
You have to understand. Nikki, let me put it to you this way.
You're putting, you are enabling
let
him.
Me
You're
put
making
it to
excuses
you.
For
no.
his bad behavior.
No, it's my fault. I look stupid some days.
You
I
need
ask
help,
you
honey.
Questions.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, this
I'm
is
not
enabling.
Phil. You
this
need
is,
help.
This is co, what do you call that crap?
Codependency.
Codependency. Listen, Nikki, if you lived with Jonas Salk, who cured polio,
you know what, Margaret,
cured polio.
I do live with a brilliant
you,
man.
Wouldn't you rather
I
be beaten?
I do live with a brilliant man, and he does not beat me, and he does not put me and my son's life in jeopardy. He
Fred,
treats us well and gives us a good life.
But what am I going to do? The sex is wonderful.
Look, you know, they often say that women stay with abusive men because there's this psychosexual attraction going on. You know, I mean...
Well, why does your wife stay with you?
Well, why don't you leave
I'm
him
making
and
a
see
joke.
Him once a week and have sex with him?
My husband coached Marlon Brando through the score.
It doesn't matter. Your son is what matters.
Let me
your
ask you
son.
A question.
You're old enough to make this decision. He's not. And you're forcing him
yes.
into this abusive life.
All right. If Frank stops beating him...
He'll never stop. He hasn't stopped
he
yet, has he?
If he can get the good weed that these
How
doctors
How old
have
is
got.
Your son?
Jason J. Delmonico just turned 12.
12 years old, and
yes.
you don't think he understands
so he can
what's
take
going
it.
On here?
Why can't we get the good weed that these doctors prescribe instead of me going down
Why doesn't he go and get
weed,
the good weed himself?
Skunk weed in Chatsworth. I'm having to score the skunk stuff in Chatsworth. My husband is in...
You don't have to do that. He's making you do that.
So in other words, you're telling me to leave the first athlete on the Wheaties box because that's what you're doing.
I'm telling
Wait
you
a
to
second.
Take care of your son.
Yes, absolutely. He designed the Matterhorn, coached Marlon Brando through the score, and was on the Wheaties box. Is that what
Great.
You're telling me?
Well, you know something, Nikki? You can poo-poo it because you're married to some guy in a wife beater.
I married
you.
A beautiful man.
All right. Nikki.
The second time around.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Well, but the first one beat you, so why can't I make that mistake?
All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Let's move on here to Jane. Jane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hi. I know I have a comment with respect to the walking cadaver. My aunt died of cancer about a year ago, and the one thing with medical marijuana
Was she smoking
is,
weed?
Hello?
Was she smoking weed?
No, she wasn't. And you want to know something?
See, that would have
the
been
worst
good for
thing
her.
Was trying to watch her swallow horse pills as medication that made her nothing but groggy. So the one thing with medical marijuana, it is quality of life. It is not quantity of life. I am not saying that her husband shouldn't get it, although I am saying that maybe it should be equal access. But if he is such a brilliant man and he has so much money, why can't he work a way around the system to get it? Because I know
well,
a lot of
does.
People that have a lot of cash
he
and
does.
They get their way around the system.
He does. I go out and score it for him. But
you know what, honey? You can grow it in your backyard. Like, why are you going down into the scums for this man? And when you say that your son can take the abuse, you know what? A little spank because your son is maybe acting out is understandable. Cornering him in a shower with a belt? I don't even
know
where your head is at, honey.
When I see Frank corner Jason J. Delmonico in the tub
what?
With a belt.
I got a question for you. What do you call your kid? Do you call him Jason J. Delmonico?
That's his name. That's his stage name. Yes, he's an actor.
You know what? I don't care what his stage name is. What do you call your kid? Are you doing a publicity stunt for him right now?
No, I am certainly not, and I feel
well, then,
your pain.
Why, like
I'm asking why my husband, who was the original voice of Mr. Ed,
you know what? I don't care if he is Mr. Ed and he can talk as a horse. He has no right to beat you. He has no right to beat
this
your son.
This is what we're trying to say to you, Margaret. He can't cornering your son in a shower with a belt. That's the most gruesome thing I could think of. Why are you not standing between that man and that child, fending off those blows?
So
and you're the one that may be getting the great sex, but your son sure as hell ain't.
You don't know the joy we get out of Frank when he's sober. He's
what,
he's just
10 minutes, maybe a day, that he's actually coherent enough to say, oh, honey, I love you?
All right. The pain has driven him to liquor. I'll give you that.
Oh, so but now he is a drunk, which is what you were just accusing her of being beaten by.
Well,
now
she
it comes
came
out,
up.
So he has a lot of money, he's
All
a drunk,
right.
and he's in pain.
Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Are you married to a brilliant man? I'll ask that of every woman that calls.
Are you married to a brilliant man? What do you
I'm
mean?
I'm not married.
Jane, when you marry a brilliant man, you will
take
his fists gladly.
I have been in a relationship for 13 years with the same guy, and he is brilliant, he is creative, and he can get as frustrated as all hell and as all men actually will and as all females will.
But you don't
but
marry him.
No matter
him.
What, will his hand ever, ever touch my body if nothing but a caress?
I'll tell you this much. If he rode Seattle Slough to four victories like my Frank did,
What has your Frank done lately? So he was on the Wheaties box. So he coached Marlon Brando. You want to know something? Marlon Brando's got a lot of kids out there, and Marlon Brando's a drunk.
My husband has a metal drinking stein that he freezes that he made my son put his tongue on and then ripped it off, and my son said, that was neat.
What? I'd call the police.
No kidding.
In fact, I think I'm going
to
call the police.
And you're training your son to take pain.
You know something, Jane? All I'm asking for, Frank, is a good stick of some of that purple sticky stuff. You know the stuff that they sell on the road in Hawaii? Now, after he wrote Raindrops Are Falling on My Head...
Will you stop it?
Lord. And you said he redid Liza Minnelli's career. Yeah. Maybe he should have left her alone. I'm sorry, but that's not exactly a career.
You really are insulting. You really are insulting.
No,
the lady
honey,
called up to
what?
Get you out of the
He taught Gene Simmons from Kiss how to spit blood.
All right,
Gene Simmons is just such a lovely role model for everybody in this world.
All right, Jane, thanks very much. Thank you very much. Okay, he was on the Wheaties box. He coached Marlon Brando in The Score. He taught Gene Simmons how to spit blood. What else did he do? Oh, he was the first voice of Mr. Ed, and he rode Seattle Slough to four victories. Carol, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Is this me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, dear.
First of all, I don't believe a word this woman is saying. I don't even want to converse with her because she's too far behind.
Oh, you're calling me a liar.
She's got a mental health problem.
You're calling
me a liar. I am a cancer survivor.
You smoke?
I don't want to hear about Brilliant. I don't want to hear about Seattle Sleuth, because every time we come back from a commercial, you have another feat that this brilliant man...
Well, I have a daughter married to a brilliant man.
Either you're an actress or you're a complete moron. You deserve to be beat. Maybe he'll beat some sense into your head.
How dare you?
And secondly...
What are you doing with the phone?
I'm not doing anything.
You're
hitting to do it with your head.
No, you're hitting... Listen to that.
You are a moron. You deserve to be beaten. I am not touching the phone.
Who's doing that, Phil?
Well, someone's hitting the touch pads.
It's not me.
Well, it is certainly not me, and you were doing it when you first called.
I have cancer. I am a survivor.
I am not the walking dead,
and I really wish my illness on you. Thank you very much.
Why don't you light up another wire
about everything?
Smoke a shirt.
I used to work in the theatrical field, and I know these people that you're talking about.
I recognize.
Crap.
You know who? Who do you know?
Thank you, Phil.
She doesn't know anyone. I know it.
She deserves everything she's getting.
And I'd like to thank Vivian Vance for calling. Roll another blunt, Grandma.
You're a real crude woman.
Oh, lighten up.
Lighten up, huh? Lighten up. Hey, I tell you what. Why don't you knock off and go home? Frank ought to be rolling in drunk. He can beat you up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Frank's rolling in from the corner bar right about now. Margaret Gray, who's married to such a brilliant man, she doesn't mind being beaten by him or scoring him dope and getting arrested for it. Because what else did he do? Oh, yeah, he resurrected Liza Minnelli's career. He ought to be taken out and shot for that. I'm joking, Liza, you poor little thing. Married to that freaking frog. Married to that human lizard. Jesus, God. Get a man in your life. Chris? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, FUBAR.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You say you could have been for the Rams. You could have been before the cheerleaders messed you up, right?
That's right. This one turns...
Well, what is she doing saying, get it in the end zone? Like, I don't know.
If you're such a good athlete, why the hell are you turning around listening to them instead of getting it into the end zone? Obviously, you shouldn't have got it in or the Rams would have had you.
She's trying to confuse me. I know that
the cheerleader on the sideline that's trying to help your team, encourage your team to go on.
That's right.
Trying to confuse you.
Yes, because they're
if
idiots.
If you're such a good football player, you should be knowing enough to get it into the end zone without having to turn around. Obviously, you've got some kind of psychotic problems wanting to turn around and yell at the girl trying to help you out.
Let me ask you a question. There's two end zones in football. If you're familiar with football, there's two end zones.
Yeah, but obviously if the Rams wanted you, you should have been a good enough player to know which end zone to run to.
But when she said get it in the end zone, it momentarily stopped me.
Well, wait a minute. Season's making a point. If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing in one direction, and you get the ball, and you hear the cheerleader say get it in the end zone, how was that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it in
nag,
the end zone.
Nag,
kick
yeah.
the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No. Obviously, they want them to.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging, little pigtailed, pleated skirt God? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Are you trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol. Obviously, they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why do you think she's a sex symbol? Teenage boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick. Your daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from her. If you loved her, you wouldn't take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life.
The man's life having fun. If the man was a good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. Obviously, the Rams didn't want you because you didn't know which football end to run to.
Wait a second. When my daughter was out there, it was 2 weeks ago, and we were playing Valley Christian, and she yelled, push him back, and the defense said, would you please just shut up? We know what we're doing.
Don't you understand what a cheerleader is supposed to do, sir? They're supposed to encourage the team.
It's like mother when she tells me to turn right when I'm already turning right. It's like my ex-wife saying, is it in? When I'm already having sex with her.
You let people bother you way too much. You let people bother you way too much, and you can't expect to move your teenage daughter. That's a cheerleader. Obviously, she's got something going for her because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a porch.
Now I know what
you think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
Season, you got to watch your language.
Yeah, hear the language on this child.
Just hold on.
Right. First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, the hoop is hot, make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot, make that shot, put the basket in the goal. She's not meaning take me out after the show, you know? Come on, she's trying to cheer for her team.
What's this? We want it up, we want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Oh, come on, dude. It's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well, I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
All right.
Well,
look, this is
she's
sick.
A cheerleader.
I agree with what the lady was saying. Susan, thank you very much. I think you're making some good points.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
20. And, yeah, so you think it's fine when they say, push it, rah, rah, rah. That's okay?
Yeah, because I played sports. They're trying to cheer them on. They're not trying to arouse anybody.
Were you a cheerleader?
I wasn't a cheerleader. I was a sports player.
Oh, lesbian, huh?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.